Okay, kids, I want to talk about someone that is sent by the devil. Okay, and when I say that, don't take it hocus pocus, bullshit, right? I mean it, but I don't want to scare you, but whatever. When I say that, what I'm saying, or we could use a psychology term, someone dealing, if you're dealing with a narcissist, okay? Now, when I say somebody sent by the devil, what I'm saying is somebody's heart who is more consumed with, ready, hatred, anger, jealousy, envy, hopelessness. Okay? These things is someone with a sick heart. Now, mind you that most people have all of these things within their heart, okay? Along with some love, some compassion. But I, and your goal, we're gonna talk, okay? Let me take it. I get too excited and I jump all over the place. But listen, somebody who's sent by the devil, meaning that you are dealing with somebody who has more of those traits in their heart more than love, forgiveness, compassion, empathy, good intent. So when you're dealing, there's different types of people in this world, and our goal is to be the purest that we could possibly be within our heart. You know your heart, okay? And you know what's in it. You know how you perceive people in the world. You know, okay? And you also need to be aware of the other people's hearts that come in and out of your life, okay? What does this person, what is their core? What are they consumed of the most? Because whatever they're consumed of the most is going to reflect onto my life, okay? And it is very simple to spot because we have these beautiful feelings and guidance within us. And some people need to activate the guidance, but no matter what, there's always telltale signs, obvious ones right before you. But sometimes we talk ourselves out of it, or sometimes the person maybe may do things that actually are harmful, but also remind you of yourself. So there's things within you that you really need to change, right? So let's just say that you lie sometimes. You do little white lies. And now you've just come in contact with somebody that you've caught in a few lies. But for some reason, you are being okay with it because you say to yourself, I lie too. You need to change yourself because you're on a road to destruction, to heartbreak, pain, and betrayal, to self-sabotage. Because if you do run into someone with a good heart and you're filled with those things, you're going to ruin it for yourself. You're going to ruin that experience of having someone truly care for you. Okay. So maybe you should ask, what is my heart filled with the most? Is it filled with anger? Is it filled with resentment? Is it filled with revenge? Is it filled with jealousy, with envy? What is it filled with? Or is my heart more filled with love, compassion, mercy, empathy, forgiveness, peace? What is my heart wanting to give? Okay. So when you're dealing with people, if you have somebody with a sick heart, a sick heart is somebody filled with those things. You're going to be able to see the different signs. And the way to notice if a person has good intent for you or bad intent, it's a very easy thing to spot. When somebody comes to you that has bad intent, they do not compliment you. They will mock you. They will mock you of your passions, of your desires, of your goodwill. They will make jokes that are degrading, but laugh so you'll get confused. And somewhere in the back of your mind, you might say, wow, I would never say that to someone I love. Okay? You will be ignored. So sometimes words don't even need to be used when someone has bad intent towards you. So let's just say that you just built a beautiful work of art, okay? And you worked really hard on it and it's gorgeous, okay? And the person sees it and they say absolutely nothing, okay? I'll give you an example. I'll give you a fucking example, okay? I have many examples, all right? And I'm gonna tell you why I justified it. Okay. People will try to manipulate you. You need to listen to that voice within you. You must. Do you know? I pulled up in my driveway, okay, and I saw something flying from the corner of my eye near my deck. I get out of the car, I go to the deck. There is a hummingbird sitting on my deck. I pet the hummingbird. My fav have it on video that no one would have believed me in this world of illusion. I took the video. I'm petting a hummingbird on its head with my finger. That is something magical. It from God. That is a beautiful experience. To I can tell you that I have pet a hummingbird. I send it to my partner, the video of me petting a hummingbird. Right? Look at what a beautiful morning. I'm very into God. I do worship. I pray. So these things that happen, it's not because of me. I'm trying to show people that when you stand in the right influence, meaning when you stand in good intent, your heart is clean, amazing, beautiful things start to happen to you. And I want to share that with everyone. I wish for everyone to be happy. So when I sent that to my partner, they did not respond to it. Okay? Hours go by, no response. Then you talk to them, they still didn't say anything. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, did they get the video? I mean, was the service bad? I mean, that was a beautiful thing. I finally say, did you get the video of it? Oh yeah, I've been so busy and I was doing this and I was doing that and this happened and that happened, this happened. And then the conversation's over. So people that do, they want to, it's a suppressing of your gifts, of your connection to God. It's devaluing the beauty of what is happening in your life that you have worked so hard for to be able to receive these beautiful things that you can now pay attention to and ex and experience. So what the person with the sick heart will do is devalue you in any way. And the more that they devalue you, now you're partners with this person. So if your partner or someone close to you is devaluing the things that mean so much to you or that you may be good at, your passions, desires, or things that you may be good at, when they're devaluing you and you feel you can't share it with them, you're like, wow, I shouldn't share it with anyone. And that's exactly what they want. They want to shut you up. Because if you're devalued, you become suppressed. When you're suppressed, you shut the fuck up. And when you shut the fuck up, you are no longer serving your spiritual walk, your spiritual journey, your connection to God. So these people come here, and connection to God is literally love, peace, happiness, good experience while I'm alive. So if you want to call it those things, fine. You don't even need to call it God. But I'm going to call it God. Okay? I'm going to so call it God. So that's their goal. And they may mock you. Okay. So I do my podcasts. And when I started, you of course start and you have a very little audience. And of course I'm honest. So I said, and you would think that your partner would listen to your podcast possibly to support you. No, I didn't even give him the information because I didn't feel like being ridiculed. Okay. Or being where they say nothing because that hurts too. But that's their goal. So let's think back. Why, how did I justify this in my head? Well, I said, you know what? This person, maybe they really were busy because I'm not a liar, you know, and I couldn't imagine that somebody really would have tried to do this to me when all I'm trying to do is share. I'll teach you about happiness, about good experience in life. So in your mind, you say, okay, maybe they were busy, or maybe it was very difficult for me. Okay, another good example. Now, of course, I love animals. I'm very big into animals, right? This person wasn't really big into animals because with caring for animals usually is somebody that's extremely compassionate, has a lot of empathy. Okay. I send my partner a picture. Now, let me tell you, I flipped my wig. I couldn't get over this one because I couldn't find a route out of this to say that this was harmless. This was done in malice. Malice. Okay. I sent my partner a picture of me and a turtle. Now, let me tell you that this turtle was on the highway about to be killed into smithereens. I moved him to a safe spot. He didn't know anything. The only thing he knew was the picture of me and the turtle. And I wrote underneath it, I said, I just saved a turtle. I just saved a turtle. I think that's all I said. You got to test the spirits. You got to test them, see how they respond. This human being, is this a human being? This person, this entity responds back to me. You are taking it from its family. That's what he writes to me. Doesn't know where it was located, never asked questions, told me that I'm taking it from its family. So now in the grand, now I, there was no way of me talking myself out of that one. So in the grand scheme, and they'll manipulate you. Oh, you, I'm not allowed to have my own opinion, this and that. Now you're discouraging me. And when they see that you love other things besides them, it isn't good for them. It is very, very threatening for them. It is very, very aggravating for them, and they lash out. So if you are dealing with any person who discourages your good intent, run for your life. Block them. Try, pray that you don't bump into them. That's it. Clear and cut dry. If you have any person that discourages you from your goodwill and good intent, remove them out of your life. There is absolutely, positively no excuse on the face of the earth why someone should discourage you, from good intent, from good deeds, from good acts, from words of encouragement, from words of wisdom. There's no reason that someone should devalue you, to overlook you, to not compliment you, to mock you, to suppress you, to shut you up. They want to shut you up. Okay? And when I started the podcast, I had told him about it. And I said, I really want to help people. I want to encourage people. I want people to fucking be happy, you know? Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Of course, he had to say something within that week. How's the podcast going that nobody listens to? Wow, was that joke for me or was that joke for you? But let me tell you something. We're also going to have a conversation about revenge, okay? That's very important for you. Okay? And I want to let you know that when people hurt you, you must learn the lens of comedy. Because I am laughing very hard now. Because I know my intent. And I know what my good intent, what it had in store for that person. And that's gone. I am gone. I will never turn around. There is no miracle on the face of this planet that would make me turn back because no miracle would condone malice. No miracle would condone falsehood and liars. No miracle would condone mean, bad intent. Okay? So we're going to have a conversation about what you're going to do. And how you deal with betrayal. because these are the telltale signs of somebody who wants to destroy you. Now, what they'll do is they got to do something to keep you around and to confuse you while they suppress and try to ruin you. So they're going to do good deeds. They're going to fix your car. They're going to buy you food. They're going to give you some money. They're going to help you put air in your tires. Whatever your thing is to feel cared for, they're going to do it. But just know that you're paying for it when you can't see. Okay? They put those windshield wipers on your car. You're paying for it because of the filthy things they're doing behind your back, the lies that they're telling you. They are trying to destroy you. They hate you because of the envy and jealousy that they have towards you. Meanwhile, all they'd have to do is become more pure of heart, and they could join the choir of greatness, of good intent, of love, peace, and happiness. But they are too consumed with those bad things that have sickened their heart. Okay? These people want to destroy you. They have seen you from a distance, and them seeing you bright and beautiful when they met you, which they'll never, never call you beautiful, by the way. That's another thing. Even when you tell them, wow, you're the only person who doesn't call me beautiful. And you're dating me. I'm confused. But anyway, so when they saw you bright and beautiful in the distance, they saw you very powerful. But these people seek and destroy. So the more that they shut your light off, knowing how really powerful you are, it feeds their low self-esteem and their ego. And they're like, wow, I'm really powerful. I'm really shutting this person down. I can't believe I'm able to. Honey, just know that during that shutdown, you are growing spiritual in ways that are unexplainable. My confirmation, and what I've learned through this, I started praying full time every morning to God. I was tired of the pain in my heart that all of a sudden I just started praying every day. And within 6 months, my life changed. Oh, I woke up one morning and all the pain of my past vanished into thin air. Okay? All the pain of the past was gone. And so, in those prayers, I prayed for discernment. I prayed for discernment and protection of my heart so that I would never fall in love with somebody who has bad intent for me. And discernment is in the Bible. If you look it up, it's the same thing as meaning intuition. So I was praying for being able to judge people and their intents towards me. Okay? Little did I know that I had the gift. When I started dating this human being, okay, I'd like to call him something else, but I'm not gonna. When I started dating that person, my mind would not stop. He's doing this, he's doing that, this and that. My stomach would turn. I was having dreams. I said, I knew, let me tell you something. I was being shown everything. And he couldn't make it no matter all the good things he used to do. I used to look at him and in my head, I'm going, why are you doing this nice thing? Because I could feel the betrayal, the lies. I knew it. And that, if you pray for, you will obtain. And so my lesson during meeting this person was that it wasn't PTSD. It wasn't that I'm paranoid. It wasn't from my past. I was given the spiritual gift, which we'll get into spiritual gifts, of discernment. And so that means that nothing that means bad will for me could fully get into my heart, which means that it can't break my heart and break me. And I don't have PTSD and paranoia. I could feel people's intent. Okay? And that was all at the end when this all was ending. I was saying, I trust myself. I don't know, even know where that came from. I trust myself. I trust myself. I trust myself. Boom, boom. Within a couple days, it blew up and it was done. I got all the evidence I needed to know this person is a liar, a snake, and a betrayal artist. Okay? And now I left the person, right? All those voices vanished in my head. All that sickening feeling in my stomach disappeared. I have silence. That's your intuition. That's God. That's the spirit trying to protect you. All right, so what's next on the list? Oh, and another thing to think, that's part of it. You need to ask yourself when you're dealing with people, how is this person influencing my state of mind? How is this person influencing my state of mind? Am I feeling more weak? Am I feeling confused? Am I feeling nervous wreck? When this person was around me, nervous wreck, very bad feeling. How are they? Are they bringing you anyone with good intent for you? You could have just had the worst day of your life. And if somebody has good intent for you and you sit beside them, you will get an overwhelming feeling of safety and peace. Don't forget that. I'm going to leave it there. The next chapter, how to deal with betrayal. All right, kids, here we go. Next subject, how to deal with betrayal. Now you've dealt with somebody and you know for sure that they've betrayed you. Hopefully to God, you didn't have to see the whole picture because the whole picture is going to hurt you. Hopefully you got enough evidence that just helps you walk away. So I'm going to give you a prime example. So basically, I had these feelings. If you listen to my other podcasts, I had these feelings, okay, that something wasn't right. I thought I blamed myself that I had PTSD, that I had paranoia, falsehoods. That's not true. I have the gift of discernment. That's your intuition. That's your inner guidance that knows who has bad intent for you and who has good intent, okay? So now that's been the show, feeling it, and now you start to trust yourself. You're no longer telling yourself that you're this or that. You're no longer denying what you know and what you feel. Now we're going into full trust. I trust myself. I trust myself. I trust myself. Then, within a few days, boom, the evidence comes. So, and the way that the evidence comes is you don't need much, right? So in the first thing that happened was we were somewhere, me and this person, and we tried to things were not good. It was crumbling because when you're dating somebody who's a liar and has bad intent for you, there's no true foundation. It's gonna crumble. They're so naive to have thought that they could play this game for years. And maybe with some people they can. But that's why you need to guard yourself with knowledge, with wisdom, and keep your heart pure. Your heart being filled with more love, compassion, and mercy, believe it or not, is going to get you out of a fucked up situation. You're not going to spend much time there. The more dark your heart is, the more that you're going to be able to sustain your time with somebody with a dark heart. So the way to protect yourself is start purifying yourself, becoming a better person. Having good intention, goodwill, okay? Letting go of anger and pain. And that's all comes from the power of prayer and self-work. It's one, gotta be honest with you. But we'll get into that as well. So now I'm with this person somewhere. We're not doing well, but I'm always trying to be the peacemaker. So I think I but my st let me tell you, my stomach's turning. 'Cause my intuition's going off the fucking deep end. My mind is fucking spinning with all telling me about this person. They're doing this, they're doing that, that's what they're trying to do. And it was all true. Okay? And this isn't the first fucking time with the first person either. But now I just know for sure I got my confirmation. Trying to be a peacemaker, let's take a picture together. Taking a picture with this person, and a flood of text messages are coming in. He's trying to swipe it away. And I said, "Who's texting you?" Guy starts running, throwing elbows, dude, with this phone. Running, throwing elbows. Doesn't want me to see his phone. And I just walk away, say, okay. I go continue the party I'm having with my other friends because when you are connected with God, with yourself, your peace isn't disrupted to a breaking point of non-functioning. You're okay. You're protected. I go on, I have my party. He's calling me off the hook because he had time now to make up a lie. And so I ended up talking to him the next day. He ends up leaving this guy ends up leaving, probably because he was so humiliated and had needed a day to think of his lie. Of course, he had to own it the next day, and he came up with this imaginary story, which was actually believable. It needed some bad in it. And that's another way that people will lie. If they do something wrong, they have to tell you a lie with something still bad in it in order for you to be able to believe it. So he couldn't have said, "My mom, I'm buying you an engagement ring, and I was talking to somebody about it." They can't say that, which if you were a really good liar, maybe you would have. So what they have to do is they have to put something bad in it. So he had said that, I can't even get into the detail because it's on a different level. But basically, it was something that was, it was something that was, it was something that had a little bad in it, enough for you to believe that the lie was true. Couldn't have been an innocent lie because then you would have just let me see the phone. Moving forward. So I believed it. And I said, "Well, I'm supposed to be your best friend. You could tell me anything, blah, 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 this and that." Okay, we let that one go. Now, this is in the beginning of the month. The last day of that same month, we are somewhere. My stomach's turning because, again, I'm witnessing the devaluing process. I pray to God every morning. I put that on Instagram. I am very into helping people. He will not acknowledge it whatsoever. He won't even look at anything I have to say or do. But then as you scroll through other people's things, you bump into, this is how the spirit shows you. He likes all these other people's things. These girls in bathing suits, this one shaking her ass, all hearts next to that. But the person who's trying, who is beautiful, by the way, I'm physically beautiful, I believe, inside and out, and you should believe that about yourself as well. Beautiful inside and out, and I'm trying to do something good, right? Not one fucking shred of acknowledgement. So we're already in an argument about that. Okay. I don't even want to go. I'm already saying that affirmation. I trust myself for a week. I don't even want to go to this fucking event that I'm going to with this person. I have no desire. I said, this isn't going to be good. I just want this fucking relationship to end. Okay. I want this to be done with. My stomach's turning. I can't even look him in his eyes because I know that there's deception taking place here. I could feel it, but I didn't fully trust myself yet, though I'm using the affirmation and I'm starting to feel the trust and the strength. Okay. We're on the way. Oh, by the way, I unliked that person's stuff and this and that. I said, what are you talking about? You don't have to unlike anybody's things, but when you're not acknowledging your own partner, okay, it's a red flag. And you can't undo disrespect. So if you've already disrespected me, you can't undo disrespect. And I said, I'm telling you right now, this isn't gonna last. I'm getting stronger and I'm starting to see things. Oh yeah, you know, they cowered down to make you feel bad for them. Then I ended up apologizing. I'm like, I don't mean to be mean, it's just whatever, but still the stomach's turning. Then he goes, oh, this is what I get for doing the right thing. You haven't been doing the right thing. Well, what did you tried to undo disrespect and that's the right thing? Okay. Please, oh my God, please help me. I just want this to be over. Give me whatever it is I need. Get to the party. We're texting. He's texting our friend that's there. I take his phone and I start looking through it, and he's next to me. I get through some things. He's sending flames to people on their thing. Meanwhile, I'm not acknowledged. Flames. Now we're sending flames to people. Good. Okay. Telling this girl, I miss you, right? Okay. Yeah. Keep looking. Now we get to text messages. I start looking. He rips the phone out of my hand. Okay, now we're ripping phones out of people. He's ripping. I said, give me your phone right now. I said, if you want to save this relationship, give me your phone right now. I'll hand mine over right to you. Right? He said, no, fine. We could be done. I said, if you love me, give me that phone right now. I'll never forget it. And he goes, I don't love you anymore and we're over. And I said, he said it three times. Fine, I don't love you anymore. It's over. Fine, I don't love you anymore. It's over. And I said, okay. So as he's taking the phone, now listen to how they lie. As he's taking the phone from them, these people, by the way, they are so not smart that they think they're the brightest people on the face of the earth. They look so crazy as they keep lying. Okay? So now I said, okay, no problem. But as he's taking the phone away, when I was starting to go through the text messages, I said, what is it? Because the last one I could see was of the neighbor. And I'm like, what is it? Something with your neighbor? Like thinking, like, because you don't know what to think as someone's ripping a phone out of your hand that you're supposed to be dating your best friend and there's no secrets, right? And so what he ends up doing is he starts sending me the conversation with him and the neighbor. Look, it's innocent. Nothing happened. This and that. I said, I'm deleting all these messages. I'm not even reading them. I said, okay, nothing's going on with the neighbor, so that wasn't the thing you were hiding from me. I didn't even say that to him. But in his head, he thinks he's going to get out of it and manipulate my mind. Okay. Insanity. That man has never heard my voice again. He has never seen my face. I don't know if he's seen my face, but I haven't seen his. Thank God, because it's not good. Not a good face to see. So, my point is, oh, and by the way, if somebody's taking a, listen, you're gonna see the memes and stuff like that. If you need to look through my phone, you have low self-esteem. No. Your phone has everything in it that tells you about yourself and what you're doing. And if my phone's sitting on the table and my best friend wants to pick it up and use it, I will give her my password and she can go in and use it. If somebody hides their phone from somebody, they are hiding something from you. You could make up the imaginary story you want to make up. I am not going to date somebody who is not my best friend. I am not going to date somebody who is not transparent with me. I'm so sorry. I do not want to sleep next to a stranger. My phone is available for you to look through at any given time. You are more than welcome to ask me any question at any given time, and I will respond to it. These people will train you to not ask them questions also. And when you do, they will blow up to start curbing you and training you not to ask questions because they are hiding something from you. And it may not be something. They are hiding many things from you. They are hiding who they are from you. Okay, I don't care what excuse and fantasy story anyone in the face of the earth wants to tell me. Someone who hides their phone from you is hiding something, is lying. Okay, so when you get into a relationship, my advice to you is take the phone, go in your car and take a ride to go get a cup of coffee and look through everything. Okay, because there's no reason to waste your time. Sorry. My phone is available. Here's my password for you, my best friend that I'm dating, that I'm sharing my body with, my food with, my time with, my life with, my bed with. I am laying next to you at my most vulnerable state when I'm sleeping. If I can't trust you, you cannot be there. Absolutely, positively not. If we're not transparent with each other, you will not be in my life. Done. Done deal. If you're doing something that's embarrassing, maybe you shouldn't be doing it at all. Thank you. All right. So whatever fucking fantasy people want to tell you, because that almost went in my head too. Oh, we don't gotta look through people's, that's bullshit. Look through their phone, see who they are. See who you're dealing with. That inclination from your spirit tells you that something's not right. Okay. So the good news is I didn't get to read the text message. I didn't get to see who it was to, what it was about, who it was from. It could be that there was a situation with people who I hang out with. Maybe he was having an affair with somebody we all hang out together. Whatever it is, thank God. So my point is you don't need to see it in black and white. That was enough for me to say, I will never, as long as my heart beats on this earth, deal with that human being again. Okay, because of the fact that I would never do that to them. So you have to ask yourself, if you would do it to them, then you're going to accept it. That's why I'm telling you to start searching your heart. If you're a liar, you're going to accept lies. If you're a self-sabotager, you're going to draw people in that self-sabotage. So you need, the more pure at heart you become, the better road you're going to lead, the better road you're going to walk on. All right, this is very important for you. I would never do that. If my partner said, listen, I'm a little insecure, which, by the way, they wouldn't be because I would make them feel my love. Every day, every moment, they will feel my love if they have good intent for me. Because I can't fully get, my heart won't do it. I could feel it. Now I know. Okay? So now, if your partner says to you, listen, I'm feeling a certain way, whatever, here, take my phone. Take it for the day. You know, here, go into my house, go in the left drawer. There's batteries in there if you need it. People can't be open with you. They aren't, something's wrong. All right. Something's not right. Something's not right. And if you're like that, you need to figure out what it is you're hiding from people. Cause you're gonna, I drew this person in because I needed to learn that I finally, that my prayer was answered. I have the gift of discernment. Boom. I got it. I know. All right. So now you're betrayed. Now you know that you've been dealing with someone who's been betraying you. What do you do about it? You do absolutely nothing. And when I say nothing, you do not respond in anger because their purpose, their heart was consumed with anger, jealousy, and envy, right? These are all evil things. They're not good. It's a sick heart. They were here to share and transfer those feelings with you, to make you insecure, to make you so when they had the jealousy and envy, they won't compliment you. So now you're feeling insecure. That's all the things they feel, right? So now they also have that anger. They wanted you. So when you want revenge, you have become them. You're becoming angry inside of your heart. You have hatred towards them. They have transferred their emotions onto you when you want to fill them with revenge. And the more revenge that you want to put place upon them, the more they have space in your mind. And when you act in the revenge and you go and do something bad, it's always never going to be good enough. You're going to want to keep punishing them, keep punishing them. And that means they're still on your mind. And the more that they're on your mind, the more power they're still in your life. You see, even though the cocksuckers aren't here physically, they still would be on your mind, right? So that is the part where in the Bible it says, God says, vengeance is mine. So when you do things that are bad, they say that it comes back bad. And that's basically just, it's not God punishing them. It's basically saying, if you open the door to bad things are going to happen. So if you're working under the influence of bad, you're allowing the entities of bad to bless you. So if you do a bad act, you just open the door to being blessed by bad energies. If you do good energies and good things, you've opened the door to the energies of good to bless you. So whoever you're worshiping, whatever God you're worshiping, through your actions and your intent, is the God that's going to bless you. Okay? That could be the God of light, or that could be the God of darkness. You understand? So we don't have to do anything but learn from it, learn our powers, keep ourselves clear in the good intent we have, and let them ruin themselves. They've revenged themselves. Don't you see? You have walked out of their life. You had plans to better their life in ways that are unimaginable. And now it's gone. So now what do they have? They have themselves. And what is that self filled with? All the entities of discomfort and suffering. And that's what they will continue on their route. Little did they know that when they tried to destroy someone with good intent, them feeling that powerful feeling of destroying you was just because you were in their presence and in their life in the first place. Once you're gone, they're back to nothing. They're back to the shriveled up prune that they felt they were from the beginning of time. You are gone. You understand? And now that you're gone, there's nothing. There's the echo of your own suffering. There's the echo of your own seeds you've sown. There's the echo of regret. That makes them have to look at themselves. And when people have to turn in and look at themselves and feel that suffering, we can only hope that those sick in heart turn to God. And then your job is done. So now it's their choice for them to turn to God or to keep continuing on this path of self-destruction. So vengeance does not need to be yours. You don't even need to know what's going on with them. Trust me when I tell you that if this suffering is not bringing them to God, they're in deep shit. It's just going to get deeper and deeper of a shitload. And you're no longer there to row the boat any longer. You're on your own path into where you belong. So we all need each other, unfortunately, you know, but it's all your outlook. So if you could get a lens of humor and you can get a lens of saying, okay, God, I get it now. I have the gift of discernment. Thank you. If you could get into the lens of what did I get from this? Because my intent was good and pure, and I know that I didn't do anything wrong to this person. Okay, what is my lesson here? What is my gain here? Let's forget even the word lesson. What did I gain from this? Well, I gained the revelation that I have the gift of discernment. Okay. What did I gain from this? So every time something wrong happens, if you have good intent, ask yourself, what did I gain from this? I gained so many things, guys, you have no idea. And so you laugh, whatever, you know. Now, these people on the other side of the coin are going to be asking themselves, what the fuck did I just lose? You see? And that's the difference between having a sick heart with bad intent towards people and a good heart of good towards people. And it's so funny because the sick in heart, when they come in, they're trying to take, and they end up losing. And the healthy heart goes in saying, what could I give? And when it all blows up, you gain so much. Isn't it amazing? Oh, Jesus. I use the name Jesus. I use the name God. Don't worry. I am not religious. God does not strike you dead. Our own hand strikes us dead. Okay? Our own hand can be our weapon if we are not smart and we don't purify our heart. God just wants to love you. God just wants to give you. That's all he wants to do. He's not here to condemn. He's here to convince you that you deserve the best. That's all. That's all it is. Just like when I came into that person's life, I was just trying to convince him that you deserve the best. And I want to give you the best through God, through good intent, through the vibrations of love, through that. People don't want to hear it because they're not there. They don't feel good enough. So your best bet when you're dealing with betrayal and wanting to revenge people is you need to pray for them, because of course I got angry. There's still moments I get angry, but this is the prayer that I say. I said it last night. I said, dear God, dear God, we'll say it right now. Dear God, I ask you to have mercy on that person, Lord God. And that through their sufferings of this loss, that they find you. Lord God, I ask you to examine my heart and to look within me. And if there is any places of my heart that are filled with anger and the desire to put upon vengeance, Lord God, I ask that my heart is filled with compassion, mercy, empathy, forgiveness, love. Lord God, I ask that the void that these people must feel in their heart, that it's filled with your love. That through their suffering, they come to you. Lord God, I ask you to remove vengeance and anger within my heart and to fill my cup up with compassion, empathy, forgiveness, mercy, and love. And if you keep saying that prayer, you're going to cleanse yourself from becoming sick of the heart, because the good come in to give good and the bad come in to share their pain and make you sick. It's contagious. And, you know, unfortunately, you got to know that when you are good coming into something bad, most of the time you are not going to change that person. Your absence is going to be the change, if there's going to be any. Your leaving their life and them feeling that suffering is going to either make them turn closer to God or closer to their bad ways. You're probably not going to win the battle of even believing that, wow, I'm coming into this person's life that has bad intent towards me and I'm going to make them good. It's not going to happen, but you're going to leave having gained many beautiful things. So remember, God says, vengeance is mine. And like I said earlier, God doesn't want to hurt anyone. He just wants to love people and have them come to them so they could have the best experience here on earth. So when God says, this is the interpretation I got through my spirit of wisdom and knowledge, which God will give you as you draw closer. When God says, vengeance is mine, do you know what that means? It doesn't mean he's going to strike that guy dead that did you wrong. He's going to make his tires go flat. That's already going to happen because whatever deeds they're doing and intentions they have is the connection they're going to have with either the God of light or the God of dark, good and bad, energies of good and bad. What God means by vengeance is he's going to rise you up. He's going to make you feel better. He's going to make you do better. He's going to bless you. He's going to make unbelievable, amazing things happen for you. And that is the vengeance. Because that person that had bad intent for you sees you rising up and doing good is the revenge. So when God says, don't go after people, when I tell you, don't do revenge. The revenge is God's. By blessing you. Okay? Don't forget it. And now I also want you to, the next thing we're going to talk about is, why does it seem like God isn't answering your prayer, but yet he really wants to answer your prayer? So that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. I love you. God bless you. You're going to do great. All right, guys, let's dive into the next subject. So, you may be saying to yourself, and we've all went through these stages, why pray? Because my prayers are never answered anyway. I pray and pray. And you know, I didn't pray for a very long time because I felt that my prayers weren't being answered, that it was just doesn't work. Like, what are people talking about? So I want to explain to you why God isn't answering your prayers, but wants to answer your prayers. Okay? We're going to go through this. It's amazing, and it's true, and it works. Okay? And, you know, I always felt protected and guided. I really have always had love for God. But beyond having a true love for God, I always had this dedication and love for doing what's right. Whether or not I even thought of God or believed in God. I remember seeing this woman praying and listening to music of God and really crying and really into it and wishing that I could feel that way towards God, but didn't. I remember that and saying, I wish that I felt that way. Why don't I? You know? And I remember even feeling a little jealousy towards people that were close to God, feeling like, wow, they love God more than me. I remember somebody, that's actually the person I think that actually led me, it ended up leading me to God and learning about him and all that. And crossing the bridge between me being dedicated to doing what's right and good and knowing that that comes from my connection to God. So we all start in places that are not pure of heart. And so this is where the energies of, this is where the journey begins. So the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to draw people in that mirror the ugliness inside of you. So I was a person that was extremely angry. I used to cheat when I was younger. I used to feel jealousy, feel insecure, feel all my heart. Even though I wanted to do good and I always stuck by what's good, I still didn't have a heart that was filled with more love towards myself and others. There was more anger and resentment for things that had happened to me in my childhood. And it was coming out in those ways. So the first thing that's what's going to happen is if you're asking yourself, Well, you might not even be asking yourself anything, but if you're dealing with people that are nasty, like I remember having all this anger and being so nasty to my boyfriend. He was no good either anyway, but still, I was just so bad to him. I should have just left him for all the things that he did and just stopped abusing him and just walk away. After I did break up with him, I met somebody else, somebody that I actually really loved. And he was just a fucking animal. He's has some kind of psychological disorders, and he's just a maniac. Anger, you want to talk about somebody angry? Somebody of self-destruction and self-hatred? That's your guy. But the way that he would speak to me and take out his anger on me and the things he would say and the way that he treated me was a mirror of everything I had done and said to the guy I was with earlier. So the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to find your mirror. And that person is going to show you all of the things you're going to realize you've been. And you're going to hate it. And that's either going to make you worse or it's going to make you change it. Okay? So through that mirroring, you're also suffering. Because you love this person. I don't know why, but you seem to have this connection with them. I know why. Because they're there to make you see all the things you never want to fucking be. So here you are with this person. They're mirroring all the bad parts about you, okay? All the ways that your heart is sick, and now you are suffering. And this suffering is so fucking incredibly bad that, and the reason being is because you're filled with more of those bad entities, those bad feelings of suffering. So love can't climb you out of the pit. Because you don't have enough inside of your own heart to get you out. And love and God is what gets you out of suffering. So now you're in the suffering. You're changing. You're like, I'm not going to be this fucking bad person that I'm seeing. I can't believe he just said that to me. I've said that to someone. Now I know the way that that feels. Now I know the way that that feels, blah, blah, blah. So now you go into sorry. I'm sorry. I will never be like that. You start turning to God. To something outside of you saying, please help me. I'm sorry. I can't take this pain. I can't take what this person's doing to me. I can't live without them. You are fucked up. You're in bad shape, okay? And that's where the change comes in. Now you're truly, under no circumstances, behaving like that mirror, that person. Bad things seem to keep happening to you. You're just becoming kinder. You're becoming more humble. You are changing. You are now becoming more pure at heart. You're deciding that love matters more. You want, you're craving love from that person so badly that you are turning into love because you have no choice. You're becoming pure. And when you start to become pure, your connection to God starts to create this portal between you and God. And so when now you're in connection. Now that you're feeling sorry, you're feeling pure at heart and you have love, you still feel the pain of what was done to you by that person, but you've also done it. So you have that pain inside of you of the past. It's too much. You constantly are thinking about the past, all the ways that you were hurt. Now you've come to the point where you just don't want to feel this anymore. You don't want to keep repeating these cycles, maybe with that person or whatever, just feeling like that. Crying, mourning over a past time, you start praying. And now when you're praying, you're not praying to get your way. You're praying for help from a pure place. You're just praying because you don't understand this love that has been awoken inside of your heart. So you say, you know what? I'm going to start praying. It's like an innate thing. It's like something like you breathe, you know, you just know to do it. So now you start praying to God and you're asking for God to heal you of your past. You are saying you're sorry. You've shown that you've changed, that you're a better person. What is your intent behind your prayers? Are you praying to God for money so that you could slap it across the guy's face that betrayed you with money 2 years ago? You're not going to get what you want from God. You need your intentions when you pray need to be from a very pure place, a place of not even wanting. You just want a place to feel freaking safe, a place to spill your heart out, a place to say, I am in pain, please help me. You don't even want anything but to feel God's love. You understand? So your way, your reasoning for not getting your prayers answered is because somewhere inside of your heart, there's something that needs to be taken out. There's something inside of your heart that needs to be purified. You need to have more love inside of your heart to connect with God than any other emotion. Okay? Pain and suffering brings you there. But you cannot have envy, jealousy, anger, resentment, revenge. You can't do this and connect with God. It's impossible. It's like using a cell phone that is off. It's off and you're trying to call somebody. Your heart needs to be turned on. The only way for the heart to be turned on is through love. That's the only way. Heart turned on through love. There's your connection to God. And when you start doing this and praying, you could even simply start by saying, God, I need you to examine my heart. I need you to rid me of the things that make my heart sick, which is anger, envy, jealousy. Okay? Remove it, God. Examine my heart. Remove these things and replace my heart with love, compassion, mercy, forgiveness. So the more pure that your heart becomes, that is the stronger the connection you're going to get to God. And when I tell now, you'll be praying for the things that you should be praying for, not from a selfish standpoint, not from an impure standpoint. You can't ask someone pure to give you dirt. It's not going to work. You can't ask somebody who really wants good for people to fucking go stab that guy in the back that did nothing, that's planting a fucking tree. You can't do that. You have to come from a place of good intent. No selfishness. You understand? My prayers came was like I said, it's just I obtained this connection with my own love inside of my heart and just knew to start going to God so he knew what to do with my love. He knew how to heal me from the hurts of my past. And with that, unbelievable. I could pray right now to God for anything, and I can surely promise you he'd give it to me. But it would all truly depend on my intent behind it. And I'm not praying. You'll learn. You'll even see that you're not even praying for the things you used to pray for. I used to pray for people to please make that person love me and get better and do this. That's their journey. They need to be praying to God for that. We can pray for people, but we can't pray for them to conduct themselves the way we want to. That's coming from a selfish standpoint. You'll know what to pray for. So let's say a prayer for people that want to build this connection with God, because he's going to give you everything that you could ever really truly desire and more beyond your imagination. And if that's just peace inside of you, let me tell you something, that's enough for a lifetime. Okay? Peace is everything. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, I'm going to pray as if I never even knew God, all right? This is my first day talking to him, and maybe you could use this prayer. Dear Lord God, I don't know you. I don't know you, God. It's hard for me to do this, by the way, because I know you. All right, maybe I'll do this differently. Dear God, I pray for your children here on earth that have good intent inside of their heart, that truly do want to do well, but just do not know how to navigate it and feel that anger, jealousy, envy is power and protection when yet they've been lied to by the enemy. Lord God, I pray for your children that want to step forward into greatness, to experience life to its best. God, I ask for you to shine your light on those that are suffering, that through their sufferings, they come to you, Lord God. I ask, God, that they give you permission to examine their hearts so that you are able to heal them of these horrific feelings of envy, anger, jealousy, resentment, guilt, shame, all the things that keep us fully disconnected to you, which is the job of the devil. To keep these people stuck in this place that are furthest away from connecting to you. Lord God, I ask for you to purify these people in the name of Jesus Christ by the powers of the Holy Spirit.
I ask that they are flooded with the overwhelming feeling of love that washes away these discomforting feelings, these horrific lies that have been embedded inside of their heart. Lord God, I ask for you to help those that are sick in the heart, that you heal them with your everlasting, pure love and kindness, with your mercy and compassion. Lord God, I ask that people, that your children or people that aren't even your children, people with the smallest inclination to come to you but just don't know how to, are now given the answers. And with these answers, they use them on a daily basis. That they have decided today that they are done with their old ways that don't work, that only bring them discomfort and grief. That they decide today that they are going to make a stance into what is good for themselves, good for others, and good in connecting with you. So that they could receive all it is that you truly want to show and give them, Lord God. Lord God, I ask for you to forgive all of us for all of our shortcomings. I ask that we are able to overcome our weaknesses and fears. We know, Lord God, that you do not condemn us. You encourage us, Lord God, and you confirm to us how much you love us. Lord God, let us start with today by saying, I trust myself. Because when we start trusting ourselves, we start trusting you. Trust comes from you. Lord God, we thank you so much for hearing our prayer, and we ask that more souls, more hearts turn towards you today. I say this prayer in the name of Jesus, by the powers and influences of the Holy Spirit, who is left here to help all of us. I hope that this helped you. And I do love you, and I really hope that all of the dreams of your heart become your reality, and that you stop not trusting yourself, stop hurting yourself, and stop letting others hurt you. Come to the place, what do you have to lose by trying this? Nothing. You only will gain.